O pray with me, my brothers. Hear our petition, O Lord, as men of Omega humbly bow before you, seeking life and love and liberty and even good hearty laughter. Heed our plea, we pray, for sustained good health and or restorative healing. Lord, help each of us as we strive to overcome our feebleness with strength, our powerlessness with potent power from on high, our sinfulness with forgiveness that can only come from you. Have grace and mercy hover over us with watchful eyes of protection and provision. Lord, hold us close to thy bosom as we step into this brand new day. Hear our prayer. Amen. Oh, what a day of Wednesday wonderment indeed this is, because this is a day that the Lord has made, and we have come to rejoice and be glad in it. It is their wisdom gleaned through the years that brings past and present grand officers here with us each and every morning. Oh, brothers, if you look to your right, you'll see bowing in prayer with us our first vice, Grand Basilisk Mark Jackson. You'll see our Grand Keeper of Records and Seals, Sherman Charles, and our Grand Keeper of Finance, Lee Rideout. And with him, our Grand Counselor, Clement Osemita. Our morning prayer line would not be a faith-sustaining enterprise without the daily presence of GB35 Dorsey Miller and GB40 Antonio Knox. How blessed we are to have them with us. We stand daily on the petitions to the Lord lifted up across the years by our immediate past Grand Chaplain Walter T. Richardson, with former Grand Chaplain Staccato Powell and Melvin Zeno. And Brother Powell, along with a mighty man of valor, Ray Johnson, said, yes, we can, when challenged with the question of whether or not Omega men will submit themselves to daily corporate prayer. Brother Powell, so very early in the morning, yesterday, 400 brothers said, yes, I will. Now, each morning I hear the echo from the heart of our immediate past Grand Keeper of Finance, Johnny Smith, who teaches us to count our every blessing. Calling each gathering of men of Omega to order is always the bright light that shines on us through our serving Grand Basilisk, GB42, Ricky Lawrence Lewis, who reaches high and low, far and wide to men of Omega, inspiring us to service. Now hear me, brothers. No doubt each of you had a black teacher in school that no matter how long you live, you will forever be thankful to God for the presence of that person in your life. I'm betting that somewhere from your kindergarten to collegiate experience that there was an instructor who saw something in you, who ignited a fire that burned within you, reminding you that you can do it. Oh, my brother from the 5th District Chapter of Rho Kappa Kappa got up early this morning to remember that remarkable person in his life and to pay tribute to him on this Omega International prayer line. Our brother is Thurston Britt. He comes before us now. Brother Britt, the line is yours.
Good morning, brothers. This is Thurston Britt, 1 Spring 24, Rho Kappa Kappa, and I want to thank all of the brothers on this line, particularly all the grands, for allowing me to speak. I will be very brief, but as Brother Grand Johnson said, there was a particular teacher in my life. His name was Reverend John Lewis Miles. He was my 5th grade teacher at Phyllis Wheatley Elementary School in Louisville, Kentucky. He was the first male teacher I had ever been exposed to. I guess like maybe a lot of children at that time, I thought all teachers were women. It did not occur to me that a man would be a teacher, especially in elementary school. But I remember the day when I walked into his classroom in that fall day in September, and I saw this gentleman sitting there behind the desk, suit on, black suit, white shirt. I think he had a blue tie on. And I thought, man, is this the principal? Did we get a new principal? But no, it was Reverend John Lewis Miles. And my exposure to him was unique. For some reason, I took a very close kinship to him. I was always glad to go to school. He was one of those teachers I did not ask to tell my mother, Mom, I don't feel like going to school today. Can I stay home? I look forward to him, even though he was the first teacher that believed in homework. But I remember him distinctly for teaching me that hard work does pay off. He would give us a lot of homework, particularly in mathematics, or should I say arithmetic, and he would be very stern with us if we did not turn it in on time and complete. But he was a tremendous, how can I say, a tremendous person in my life beyond the fifth grade, because after I left the fifth grade, going on to the sixth grade, I still remembered him. His classroom was right down the hallway from my sixth grade class, and I would make it a point that on my way to my sixth grade class, I would always stop in and say, hey, Mr. Miles, how you doing today? And he would remember me and speak to me. And then after that, going on to junior high, I would purposely find a way to stop by Phyllis Wheatley and look for Mr. Miles. He was a tremendous influence on my life. Just speaking with him, he would always ask, are you doing well? Are you finishing your homework? Things of that nature. Even going into high school, and he still continued to teach. I remember one particular time in his classroom, he would break us off into four desks in a group, and we were all set up that way. And I don't know if this is accepted now today, but he would have certain kids who had the better grades segregated from the kids with the not-so-good grades. And at the beginning of the school year, I was with the kids with the not-so-good grades. But then one day he asked, what is the purpose of the Statue of Liberty? And I'll say this. I told my mother this, and she looked at me and smiled. But when he asked that question in the classroom, I just held my hand up, and I said, and he called on me, and I said, it was a symbol of peace and hope. And he looked at me, and he said, Mr. Britt, move your desk over here with these children, over with the smart kids. And gentlemen, brothers, you have no idea what kind of joy what kind of inspiration that put in my heart for a 10-year-old kid. For him to say that. I still remember that to this day. But Mr. Miles will always be special to me. I will always remember him. A very good friend of mine in that same classroom, he remembered Mr. Miles. Matter of fact, I had a conversation with him not too long ago. And I had lost contact with Mr. Miles, but he was able to stay in contact with him, and he was a pallbearer at his funeral. I did not know that. But Mr. Miles was everything to me, my first male teacher. I love him dearly. Brother Grant, I yield.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Britt, for sharing that moving testimony of John Lewis Miles. What a man indeed he must have been. What a blessing indeed he was to not just you, but to your fellow classmates as well. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for letting us know that there are black teachers who deeply care and can continue to light the fire of young black students. Too bad, though, Brother Britt, that we don't have any in the 6th and 7th district. At least we didn't in yesteryear, because we're going to have to read, I guess, the comics tomorrow in these 5 minutes, because we don't have anybody that has raised their hand and said, I had a teacher that inspired me, not in the 6th nor the 7th district. Anyway, brothers, we're back in the legendary 5th district this morning, which means that the Reverend L. Rodney Bennett is behind that sacred desk. He proves daily that the heart of a good man is the sanctuary of God in this world. So hear him this morning as he rightly divides the word of God's truth, sharing how God is, and then leading us to the Lord in prayer. You know, many chaplains and other organizations aspire to greatness without realizing that the path to true leadership is paved with stones of discipleship. That's not who Rodney Bennett is, but he is spawned from the spiritual loins of Bishop Carter. He holds that torch high as he lights the way. Come, Brother Bennett, and share with us. The line is yours, sir.
Oh, thank you so much, Brother Grand Chaplain. What a blessing you are, and how kind it is that you continuously set the table of divine brotherhood for us chaplains each and every day in such a unique way. And given this Black History Day of celebration and this time in which we celebrate our peoplehood, as we reflect on our struggles, the sacrifices, accomplishments of all that we have done, it is an honor each and every day to be encouraged, my friend, by your uplift as you extend as a friend to all Omega men those kind words that help us all to be thankful. It's so apropos that you would mention my mentor and the one that I've been able to be so thankful for, and how he has blessed me with richness as we talk about those that have been teachers along this path. As I was looking through my prayer journal this week, I was reminded of you and Bishop Carter and how each of you prayed for me and my family this time last year in the month of February. And I'm just so thankful and I'm so appreciative of how you all continuously look out for not only myself and my family, but how you have blessed brothers in the legendary 5th District and the brothers and the men across Omega Nation, and that we're all better because of those uncensored prayers and that unceasing prayer that you and he have both exhibited down through time. And I'm just a better person and just thankful. You just touched me when you went there, man. And so as I think about this phenomenal experience that our founders wanted for us, and that was spiritual integrity, I'm just reminded of just how wonderful it was to hear Brother Past Chaplain Staccato Powell this morning. And I think about what he and Brother Walter T. Richardson have meant to the chaplaincy and my personal growth, as he reminded us that God always speaks to us on a personal basis. And then I see how Brother Fisher has wrapped his heart and commitment into the fold of what it means to make sacrifice. And man, it's just touching my heart because I see how our 42nd Grand Basilisk embodies that type of spirit, and the Supreme Council and my dear friends across the 5th District and Executive Council and Supreme Council. And it's just a touching experience when we see the backdrop of what's happening in this nation right now, the wrecking ball and the sledgehammers that are beginning to seek to unravel the marvelous things that we have done. And it just brings me to a wonderful place to where I'm just thankful as I see how we can recognize the prominence of what God did through putting brothers to honor the advocacy of our heritage and our history. You know, one who was recognized prominently as the father of black history. You know, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, our dear brother, who promoted the study of our African-American history by establishing that Negro History Week that was launched 2 days hence, back February the 7th, 1926, which would evolve into Black History Month in 1976 for all the world to behold. And yet, we each know that Black history is not just celebrated. Sometimes it's celebrated 24/7, 365, as our history is not only African-American history, but it is American history, which proclaims unto each of us, brothers, the power of Psalm 139:14 unto this world that as Black men, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That means we are made in the image of Almighty God, hallelujah, and marvelous are his works, and our soul knoweth quite well. And so how he has sculptured us from nothing into something. And brothers, as we go into the lesson today, reflecting on the holiest day of the year. Yeah. If you could think about a time in which there would be an edict that would go out from God himself, that there would be a time that would be recognized as the holiest day of the year. What is your holiest day of the year, brother? And so as you think about that and as we anticipate that, as we go into this for just a moment, it was a day in which God had sculptured Israel, if you will, time and time again, from nothing into something. Yes, this was what we see in our overview that the Lord did by observing the great day of atonement each year as Israel's most significant act of worship. This was not the Omega Get Right program, but it was Israel's Get Right program. As God says in Leviticus 11:44-45, make yourselves holy, because I, your God, am holy. Yeah. The Day of Atonement, my brothers, was followed the Feast of Trumpets, or the New Year, in the experience of the Jewish worship. Yeah, it was 10 days following the Feast of Trumpets, and this was the most solemn day, if you will, of the year of God's chosen people. Yeah, this was the holiest day of the year. On that day, the nation itself gathered to watch expectantly, if you will, as the high priest entered the most holy place to confess the sins of the nation with the blood of atonement to cover their sins. Now understand this, confession is always the first step towards righteousness. You want to enhance your righteousness. You want a righteous relationship with someone, and there's been somehow an experience where you've been dissed or they've been dissed. Watch this. If we will understand the power of being humble enough and being wise enough and understanding that there's enough love that God has in your soul to extend an olive branch, if you will, then it enables us to realize the power that leads us to what God would have us to do. You see, confession leads to a desire for forgiveness. God says, and I might add parenthetically, in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, hallelujah. You see, he cleanses us with the blood of atonement, which is to cover the sins, even our individual sins, but the sins of a nation, as we speak about this, of the previous year, was what God would do for the nation of Israel. For God prohibited the use of the blood for anything except a sacrifice unto him. Oh, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yeah. You see, the book, brothers, have you ever had to realize and come to live with a gnawing uncertainty in your heart and in your spirit there? Just something that just gnawed at you, something that wouldn't let you go, something that troubled you time and time again. A recurring illness, if you will, an overdue bill, a threat of legal action. Oh, I found myself in deep prayer this week as I been dealing with this flu bug, and lo and behold, I looked and I found myself coughing and at times uncontrollably, and then suddenly, because of inflammation in areas on my body, I found a sciatic situation, and the pain that occurred at times in my leg all reminded me that I needed to continue to stay steadfast. You see, I didn't know when the pain was coming, but when it came, it was so excruciating that I could only just reach out and cry out to Almighty God. God being the God that he is, oh, he answers our prayer. He answers our cry. And so the emotion, as we see, of facing situations like those can bring about intense pain, as Israel found out time and time again. You see, there's always a penalty for that which goes unconfessed. There's always a reality of what needs to occur if we're going to be able to move forward in the way that God would have us to move forward. And God tells us in all circumstances to prostrate ourselves before him. Oh, yeah, in the Old Testament times, the emotions that charged the air on every day of atonement must have been intense, because as the high priest cautiously entered into the most holy of the holies, yes, it was a place that was set for that element of atonement. It was made for atonement for the sins of the nation. And one question was uppermost in the minds of each and every citizen in the nation. Would God pass over their sins for yet another year? Lord, have mercy. The awful reality of the Day of Atonement was this, my brothers. People were never fully cleansed of their sins. They were only temporarily covered and sent away on the head of the scapegoat. Yeah, that's where we received that understanding of what the scapegoat was, because the sins of the scapegoat would be placed upon the scapegoat, and the debt, which were the sins of the people, would remain upon that scapegoat that would scatter into another area. And so when we think about the debt of sin that remained unpaid, it was like a promissory note deferred from year to year. Oh, it just continues to be an example of what we see. What is that promissory note that's deferred year to year? We see it even in our wicked government, how each year we find ourselves wondering if they're going to pass the budget, or they're going to pass the buck. And time again, we're kicking things down the road instead of dealing with the reality of what we need to do as a nation. And so we find ourselves once again in this perilous situation, in this dynamic that causes us to look at the wrecking ball and the sledgehammer. And so as we continue, as we think about that, this awful reality of this Day of Atonement that we found ourselves contending with, reminds us of the importance of the one who came and paid it all. You see, everything that was done in this Old Testament experience pointed us unto the New Testament reality. For those that things that were concealed in the Old Testament were revealed in the New through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And aren't you glad that Jesus ended that uncertainty for all time? For by his death, the long-standing debt of sin was paid, here it is, brothers, in full. When you pay your bills this month, oh, think about this experience. Remind yourself and one other person of what Jesus did at Calvary. Remind yourself and one other person that sin debt that tried to hold us back, that tried to keep us from being all that God would have us to be, it's been paid in full. Thank the Heavenly Father above for allowing you to be that person that now you have a direct access to our God because of what your Savior Jesus Christ did. For Jesus paid it all. Yes, when the veil was rent, he gave us access directly to the Father. And we can go to the Father each and every day. We don't have to wait for a Day of Atonement. Today is that Day of Atonement for you and I. For this is a day that the Lord has made, and we can rejoice, hallelujah, and be glad in it. That's what the Day of Atonement gives us. The holiest day,
yes, sir,
that you are blessed with each and every day is this day that you have right now. Don't put off tomorrow what you need to do today. Thank God today, yes, my brothers, for he blessed you with the holiest day. What is the holiest day? My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, is what King said. He was able to say that day he wasn't fearing any man.
Yes. Because
he knew that he didn't have to look any further than what God blessed him with in that moment. Oh, yeah, don't put off tomorrow what you need to be thankful for today. God has given you. This is your day of atonement. It ain't something that you got to wait for, look for, hope for, and believe that it's going to happen at a designated time. But God is so richly blessed us because Christ came and led and bled and died. Oh, yes, but the story doesn't stop right there because it looked real bad on Friday. Hallelujah. But aren't you glad that Sunday's coming? Aren't you glad that he didn't stop right there? Aren't you glad that you got breath in your body to breathe?
Yes, sir.
And to give him thanks and glory, and to recognize that he's put teachers in your life. He's put educators around you. He's put his love in and around you that can't hold you back. Oh, yeah, nothing can stop an idea whose time has come, because Carlisle said, truth crushed to earth will rise again. It's going to rise, and we shall rise if we remember, as Bishop Powell said this morning, amen, that if you want to go far, you go alone. If you want to go fast, you go alone. But if you want to go far, yeah, you got to go together. Oh, yeah, we got what we need to go together, brother. God has made this fraternity, the greatest fraternity unto humanity, that which is needed. All we need to do is claim it and receive it and make certain that as we continue to move forward, that we realize that the wonder of the cross is not the blood, but whose blood was shed. For there were many that went before Jesus to be crucified, but they didn't have the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of the Lamb that enables us to be able to stand this day and thank God symbolically for all that has been done, so that we know that we don't have to wait for a scapegoat any longer, because Jesus has paid it all. Yeah, yeah, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, brothers, as we look unto all that we know that has been taken care of because he got up on that third and appointed morning, we are thankful now that we can reach out and remember to pray for those that are struggling with suicide and pray for those that are struggling with many of the issues that we know are affecting our African-American communities, those things that are also affecting others. So let us remember 988, our National Suicide Lifeline number. We can text people. We can talk with folk on that line to help somebody along the way. We know, brother, you're on my mind. That's where we need to reach out. But there may be someone that needs someone that can speak to them also with a dedicated and designated area of expertise. And so we come thanking each of you today, brothers, for joining the call and sharing in. As we send messages to prayingomegas@gmail.com, I want to thank Brother Marvin Broadwater Sr. He says, I begin a new journey forward with both of my knees being replaced. And so we want to pray God's strength. He asks that we pray God's protection of Broadwater today and that God will give him that which he needs to keep on keeping on. My dear friend, Chaplain Courtney Miller, asked that we remember his friend, Brother Marcus Mason, as he is his line brother. He's recovering from a sickness, and we want to thank God for continuing to keep him. And then we are asking prayers, if we can, for Willie Dean Moore. She will be having a liver replacement surgery at the University of Alabama this morning. We thank Brother Kevin Tarver for sending in that prayer request. Thank you, my brother. Then my friend OG3DC reminds us that people are engaging in many behaviors to try to complete suicide, but the prayers of the righteous can avail much. And so he speaks to us and says that he's praying for a man that he and Dee were witnessing an attempt to jump off of a bridge. And they had actually jumped off after they had called 911, and the man was rescued, and he was hospitalized. And so we thank God for that presence of mind and stepping forward. And then I'm so thankful that my friend John Cooper reminds us, amen, as he says, brothers, you are on my mind. He wants us to know that there are avenues and resources that can help us, to give us the tools. And so there's some technology that he wants to make available for those that will put their name in the list. And there's a free computer that will be given also, but you've got to put your name in there to see if you're going to qualify to receive it, brother. And so let us reach out to him accordingly. We want to thank Brother Robert Gilmore as he reminds us that he's in need of prayer. His mother is back in the hospital struggling with liver cancer. Her kidneys are failing, and we know that God is an ever-present help in our time of need. So we want to keep this brother in our prayer. We want you to know that as we lift you up today, we know that we serve a God who is able to do all things. And so we just have to we have to continue to hold on to his unchanging hand. And then we want to give thanks once again. Yes, yes, as Brother Daryl Sinkfield. Yes, he asked that we add Brother Shannon Locke to our prayers for the next several days as he's in the hospital down in Birmingham, Alabama. Norman Sanders, he says that, if brothers, would you please pray for the Richardson brothers, Willie and Alexander. They had to bury their sister yesterday. And so they are in need, as we know that our Lord is one who can give us comfort, as he gives us the peace that passes all understanding. And we pray for the family during this time. And we also ask that his granddaughter of 6 years of age, who has been struggling with sickness, that we lift her up in prayer. God will touch her and heal her and give restoration. Then we thank God for Brother Keith Pemberton, as he asked that we remember Brother Matthew Stevens in our prayers, as he had to have emergency surgery. And so we know that our God is always ready, willing, and able to aid us and provide us with that which is needed. Brother Sean O'Wim, he sends us prayers. Sends up prayers of comfort for the family of Brother Joe Lewis of Pi Phi Chapter, the 6th District Keeper of Peace, whose sister has passed. And so we want to pray for his family and ask that God will continue to strengthen him for the road ahead. Continue also to pray for unity among the brotherhood. And then as we continue to keep one another in prayer, let us remember Brother Broadwater, who we mentioned earlier, who is still recovering from knee surgery. I want to ask that you all remember a dear friend to my wife and I. She is like another daughter to us, young Sister Jim Smith. She is from Belize, and we have essentially looked after her as she has been here in the States, and she has been undergoing stomach surgery and surgery to her small intestine. And so we want to continue to pray for her as we continue to also remember our brother in the 5th District, as we thank God for our esteemed district representative, Brother Quincy Snyder. And we also want to remember our district marshal, Brother Mitchell, as he has been challenged with need for prayer. We continue to pray for his health and strength. Then we continue to pray for Brother Willie Peel. We want to continue to pray for others that I have not mentioned. As we know, so many are on the mend and on the process of recovery. And we continue to lift them in our hearts and lift them in our thoughts of prayer. And so we come at this time, and we want to thank God for this blessed moment as we close out. Let us go to the throne of grace and mercy at this time. Lord, we simply thank you once again as we pray your grace, and that everything that you provide us in need of will be multiplied. Lord, we ask that you will continue to consecrate us unto your service. For dedication is our part, and consecration, dear God, is your part. And we dedicate ourselves to you, O Father, as you consecrate us unto your service. So consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Be with us now, Heavenly Father, one by one and name by name. Keep our families, keep us in perfect peace, dear God. Thank you, dear Father, for blessing us with that which you give us to celebrate as our own cherished history and legacy. For, Lord, we know that in you we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We just thank you, dear God, for blessing the greatest fraternity unto mankind and unto humanity. Now, dear Father, until we come together again, keep us in thy perfect peace and under thy watchful eye. In the mighty, matchless, miraculous, and marvelous name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. And all God's wonderful men of Omega did say, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.